The reading is from the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, beginning at chapter 1 and ending at the first verse of chapter 2. And you can find it on page 886 of your pew Bibles, the Old Testament section. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore judgment comes forth perverted. Look at the nations and see. Be astonished. Be astounded. For a work is being done in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For I am rousing the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings, not their own. Dread and fearsome are they. Their justice and dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more menacing than wolves at dusk. Their horses charge. Their horsemen come from far away. They fly like an eagle swift to devour. They all come for violence, with faces pressing forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and of rulers they make sport. They laugh at every fortress and heap up earth to take it. Then they sweep by like the wind. They transgress and become guilty. Their own might is their God. Are you not from of old, O Lord my God, my Holy One? You shall not die, O Lord. You have marked them for judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for punishment. Your eyes are too pure to behold evil, and you cannot look on wrongdoing. Why do you look on the treacherous and are silent when the wicked swallow those more righteous than they? You have made people like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. The enemy brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his seine, so he rejoices and exults. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his seine, for by them his portion is lavish and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and destroying nations without mercy? I shall stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you, and it's great that Denver is leading us in our service today. I think it's really important that we begin to use some of our lay worship leaders, and it's great that we can have that as part of our service today. Now, it'd be a real great help if you could turn to the Pew Bibles, and we're going to be looking through this new sermon series on the minor prophet Habakkuk. Now, if you don't know where Habakkuk is, just to help you, it's between Nahum and Zephaniah. Or it might be more helpful, page 886. And just so you can see that I'm not making it up, it'd be good to look at the text of that prophecy. And then we're going to pray. So page 886, Habakkuk chapter 1. And this morning, let's pray to our Father in heaven that he would help us this morning. Lord God, I thank you that you are eternal, you are all-knowing, you know our hearts and minds today. Lord, help us to put aside any distraction. Help us to focus on what you are saying to us. And Lord, we just come to you as your people today with empty hands, praying that you'd be merciful, that you'd be gracious, and you would speak to us today. And we give you all the glory, honor and praise. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So there we have the slide, Habakkuk, Questioning God in a Broken World. And that's really the subtitle of this whole book we're going to be studying over the next few weeks. How is it possible that God can be in a broken world like ours? Sometimes children can be full of questions, can't they? And we struggle with the answers. Dad, why'd you do that? What's that for? How does that work? I don't know. Eat up your beans. And we can easily find ourselves out of our depths. And this morning we're going to be thinking about some questions, and if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we feel we're out of our depth. As God's people, we can turn our face towards God and seek to live for Him. And we might just see this morning that some of the questions that Habakkuk asks, they are the questions that we are asking too. These questions are not edited out. They can be a bit awkward, a bit embarrassing, but they need to be faced up to. They need to be confronted head on. Habakkuk helps us to see what the life of a true believer looks like. And first of all, we see this morning in chapter 1, we are going to deal with reality. There's no point being a Christian and looking at the world with rose-tinted spectacles, thinking that everything is beautiful and bright and good. We know that's not true. We know the world is not as it should be. Our world is fractured, it's broken, and often the light seems extinguished by the darkness. We can see that on the international stage, can't we? Will Russia go to war with Ukraine? Will there be further unrest in Ethiopia, Kazakhstan? What happens with North Korea testing ballistic missiles? What happens with the Taliban in Afghanistan? And it makes us feel stressed. It makes us feel anxious the world is running out of control. And that's before we even think about a global pandemic and the threat of terrorism. But it's not just fractured in the wider world, it's fractured in our own lives, in our own families. And we know that's true. We know we're surrounded by suffering and sadness. And there are big questions we need to face up to. It's a reality we can't ignore. Verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? You see, Habakkuk is questioning what he sees around him. And it's not a pleasant sight. The word in verse 1 that's translated oracle can also mean burden. The burden that the prophet Habakkuk saw. And as we think about the agony of spirit, if you like, the burden that Habakkuk has, it makes us think, are we sharing in that burden as we look at the world around us, the state of our own nation and community? May we never be unmoved. May we never be immune from the suffering of the world around us. Sometimes it's tempting to put a little cocoon around ourselves, to hunker down and hope it all goes away. That is what not Habakkuk says to us. Violence seems to characterize the world of Habakkuk at this time. People are turning away from God and life seems oppressive and brutal. And verse 3 just heaps up the words, wrongdoing and trouble, destruction and violence, strife and contention. It's a horrible thing to see. And he's living in the midst of it. Verse 4, it seems that the law is trampled underfoot by the wealthy and powerful. Justice is up for grabs to the highest bidder. Right judgment is perverted. There are miscarriages of justice. And Habakkuk cries out to God, why, Lord, why don't you just do something? Why do I have to look at this wretched state of affairs among God's own people? And it just seems hopeless. It seems that sometimes the wicked do indeed surround the righteous. Verse 4. Do you know who this man is? Anyone? Yes, it's Jacob Zuma. South Africa at the moment is gripped by the corruption trial and the sentencing of the former president, Jacob Zuma, charged with corruption on a vast scale. Evidence of government decisions being made to benefit family businesses, whole-scale bribery, corruption, intimidation, money laundering, and state looting, as it's called. But that's just Africa, isn't it? We couldn't possibly imagine politicians misusing their power and influence in this country, could we? Could we? Habakkuk is teaching us we need to deal with reality. The world as it really is, not as we want it to be. So Habakkuk is teaching us a life of faith, but one that deals with reality. But he also wants us to value honesty. So we face reality, but we also got to think honesty. Habakkuk has asked the question, how long should we cry for help? How long do we have to endure the suffering and hardship in this world? And if you look down at your Bibles, verses 5 to 11, that big chunk, these are then God's words in response. Verse 5, look at the nations and see, be astonished, be astounded, for a work is being done in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For I am rousing the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. So we're thinking here about the Assyrians. The great might of the Assyrian Empire focused upon Babylon. And Habakkuk can hardly believe his ears. The cure seems worse than the illness. God is going to raise up the military superpower of the day to discipline his own people. That is not what the answer to prayer looked like that Habakkuk was thinking of. Habakkuk probably wanted a great hero to save the day. He probably wanted another great king like Josiah to bring revival and reformation. But that's not what God is planning. Have you ever prayed and wanted God to answer things the way you wanted them to answer? We all do it. Habakkuk wanted an answer that didn't look like this. Habakkuk prayed, and this is how God answered. And the prophet needed to learn the hard lesson that despite everything, God is in control. God is sovereign. He is over all humanity and over all human history. Nothing is beyond his reach or beyond his control. The Assyrians with Babylon are a cruel and merciless people. Verse 8, they're like leopards, wolves, eagles, swift to bring destruction and ruin. They are a brutal and savage people. Verse 9, they gather captives like sand. Nobody can resist them. Verse 10, they simply scoff at kings and laugh at the fortresses of their enemies. And yet God is going to use this pagan empire for his own purposes. And I think this brings us right up against one of the main problems we have when we read the Bible. There's a huge conundrum here, a massive tension we just need to be honest about. On the one side is what we observe. Sometimes evil and suffering and real hardship in the world. But on the other side, what do we actually believe about a God who is good and loving and faithful? And there's no simple answer to that. Or we can put it another way. Divine sovereignty on one side, human responsibility on the other. God is in control, that's what we believe. Yet it seems that people are allowed to do whatever they want. The wicked really do seem to prosper and get away with it. Why? God tells us that he is the one raising up the Chaldeans. It's not by chance or coincidence. He is the one in control. It's not presidents or kings or generals or multi-billionaires who are in control. God is over all human life. And there's no easy answer to this conundrum. This is simply the world we live in. And how do we live with that tension? What we observe and what we believe. Divine sovereignty, God is in control, yet it seems that somehow people go unchecked and there's evil and suffering. Habakkuk tells us that there's no conflict between being a faithful believer and asking hard questions based on the evidence we see all around us. Asking questions is not the same as unbelief. In fact, a healthy Christian often asks questions. It's a sign of spiritual activity and seeking after God. There was a great Welsh preacher called Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he gave us some very good advice. He said, don't listen to yourself, but keep on talking to yourself. Don't listen to yourself, but keep on talking to yourself. And you're not alone this morning if you're asking profound questions about this world in which we live and the faith that we profess. Others around you will be asking the same questions. I will be asking the same questions. Things are not all neatly tied up in nice little boxes, neatly labeled and ordered. Do you remember the story of Job in the Old Testament? All those big questions of life when you're assaulted by suffering and all manner of problems. Every support and pillar is kicked away from Job, yet he still remains a man of great prayer and faith. And that question of why do the just suffer is never completely answered. For there will always be mystery in this life. Likewise, the Psalms are full of questions. Deep, gut-wrenching questions. Why, Lord? Why is this happening to me? How long, O Lord, must I bear all this? But if Habakkuk teaches us to think about facing reality, if he asks us to value asking questions honestly, he also encourages us to think that there are certainties we can know. We hold all this together by thinking about the certainties of what we know about God. In the first section, Habakkuk laments and cries out to God. Then God answers, verses 5 to 11, and then from verse 12 to the end, we then have the response of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk understands that some things are based on solid rock. They are solid, unmovable, when everything else seems to be fleeting, unsteady, constantly in flux. God is addressed, verse 12, O rock. Do you remember Jesus' parable of the wise man building his house upon the rock? The storm came, the winds blew, but the house stood firm. God is our rock. Look at verse 12. Are you not from of old? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, you shall not die. O Lord, you have marked them for judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for punishment. You see, God is from everlasting to everlasting. He's eternal. He acts within human history, but he's above it. He is completely in control. And one day, perfect justice and peace will come. It will flow like a river, as another prophet says. Verse 13, God is holy and righteous. He cannot bear sin and evil in this world. He looks at this world, the sin and the suffering, and he is deeply grieved and moved by it. Then through to chapter 2, verse 1, the prophet will not lose faith. He will stand watch. He will wait for God's word to him. The prophet wants to see how God will answer his complaint. Now Habakkuk, as a prophet, is a man of God, and he waits for the word of God to come to him. All the Old Testament prophets are preparing the way for the ultimate word of God, the Messiah, to come. And it is Jesus who's that word of God in flesh and blood who comes. And in Jesus, we see the one who pours out his heart in brokenness and honesty before God, yet all the while maintaining absolute faith in God. Do you remember the story of Gethsemane? Here's a wonderful painting from an Indian artist of the sorrowing Christ in that garden of Gethsemane. And on his knees, he cries out to his Father in extreme anguish, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And he sees the evil of a world around him that crucifies people to death. And he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. The perfect example of a follower of God. He acknowledges suffering and pain, facing reality. He wants to be delivered from that suffering, yet he submits himself to holy and loving and pure God. And even on the cross, Jesus cries out the same searching questions of the Father. I read from Mark's Gospel. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus is quoting directly the words from his ancestor, King David, in Psalm 22. And at that moment, the weight of the sins of the world are placed upon him. But yet at the cross, we see perfect submission to God, perfect love, yet still expressing the deepest anguish and asking the most profound questions. Habakkuk the prophet shows us a shadow of the faithful disciple. But in Jesus, we see the fulfillment of it. And at the cross, we see the acknowledgement of pain and suffering, yet a great confidence and faith in God. So can I encourage us as Christians this morning, keep on asking our questions. Don't worry about British reserve, our stiff upper lip. Let's open our eyes to the reality of the world around us. Let's not be afraid to ask those hard questions, and yet hold on to the truth that God is for us. Someone once said, never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. Never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. Suffering does not mean that God has abandoned you. He is still there, still loving and still kind. Though we have many questions and many mysteries. So we need a robust, grown-up faith that deals with reality, that asks questions. A God is big enough to hear our cries for help, our weeping and our ranting. We don't have to put on a brave face pretending everything is okay. We're encouraged by Habakkuk not to bottle it up, but to pour it out. So this morning, may we trust in that God who will never let us go. May we always trust in our Father. O Lord, my God, my Holy One. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the words of your prophet today. We thank you that they still shine out from the pages of Scripture through your Spirit. Lord, help us to be honest before you, to acknowledge our griefs and our sorrow, to ask those questions of you, and yet still hold on to the certainties that your word tells us of. Lord, help us to learn these lessons. Give us ears to hear the answers. Help us to wait on you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.